Lord, it is so important that we take the time and we take the responsibility of the reason why we are still here. And I truly believe it's so that we can share the redemptive story. And God, as we do this every day, we're not responsible for the results. We're not responsible for how they accept it or reject it. But God, we are responsible to share the story. And Father, I pray that you give us the wisdom, the strength, the encouragement, and the divine opportunities to do that. And God, we just thank you for all that you do in us as you work. And Father, the work that you do through us, we thank you and give you the praise. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Romans chapter 4. We're diving into a little bit more of Romans tonight. And as we do that, Paul is still trying to convince his readers. And again, the readers are mostly Jews, and there are some Gentiles involved. And so in this section, Paul is still trying to convince them about the importance of understanding that we have all sinned and we all fell short. We saw that last week in Romans 3:23, very familiar verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, all means all. There's no exceptions. There's no grades of people. There's no classes of ethnicity. There's nothing. It's just we are all. And we all fall short. We all need that Christ. We all need him in our lives. And so saying that, Paul then goes in chapter 4. And again, it's what's interesting is we saw in verse 19 and 20 of chapter 3 how Paul continued to just simply come to a conclusion and try to get this into their mind. And I just want to read real quick verse 19 and 20 of chapter 3 before we jumped into chapter 4. It says, now we know that things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. If you have anyone, when you're talking with them, struggling with the idea that they don't feel that they're wrong enough or sinful enough, that's a verse that simply says, it's the law that makes us understand, because we're all under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So we are all guilty before God because of the law. In verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, which is God, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Those two verses, I think, really set the foundation, because Paul's going to go back again now in chapter 4, verse 1, and he's going to ask him a question. Verse 1 of 4 says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? What about Abraham? Now, if you were a Jew back in the Bible times and they talked about Abraham, you're talking about my father, you're talking about why I am who I am. They go back to the Abraham and the Abrahamic covenant and they look at that as we are the circumcised people. We are the chosen generation. We are the chosen nation of Israel. And that's the very thing that Paul was trying to really destroy in their mindset. It doesn't, that's true, you are, but it doesn't get you to heaven. It doesn't matter that you are the descendant of Abraham. And so he asked him a question, and he says, what can we say that Abraham, our father, is pertaining to the flesh? What did he gain by living the life that he lived? Now, was Abraham a perfect man? Absolutely not. But Abraham was a man that followed God in almost all the instructions he gave him. He did what God asked him to do. He left his land not knowing where God was sending him, because God said, you just go, I'll show you where you're going. He then, when Lot, his nephew, was there in Sodom and Gomorrah, he prayed to God that God would save him. And God granted his prayer, got Lot out of there. And so Abraham followed God well. And as we see this, they hold Abraham up on a huge pedestal. And so Paul very wisely says, Abraham, our father, what did it benefit him in the flesh? And so verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he had there whereof to glory, but not before God. And he said the same thing in a different way. Abraham basically for if, or what if Abraham was justified by works, he would have much to glory about, because he did tremendous things for the cause of Christ. He did tremendous things. He is the father of the nation of Israel, but not before God. And he's making a distinction here. In fact, it's interesting. If you go to verse 2, which we read, now go to verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, we call that the hall of faith. Abraham is listed in there as stating his faith was counted as righteousness. There was no blood animal. There was no, although God looked at the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, and so he looked at that and he accepted that. It wasn't until the blood of the Lamb, or the blood of Christ, that finalized the penalty and the payment for sin. Abraham had faith in God, and God counted his faith righteousness. Not all the bulls and the doves and the lambs that he sacrificed. Doesn't say anywhere in the New Testament that Abraham was looked upon as righteous because he followed all the temple sacrifices. It was his faith in God that counted righteousness. So going back to Abraham's life, it's very easy to even understand and see. Abraham was asked to do an unbelievable task, and that's take Isaac, his son, up to the mountain and kill him. And God tested his faith. And you know what? That same God is going to test our faith. That same God is going to test the faith by life journey, by the things we go through in life. We know, we claim to believe in Christ, we claim to have faith, we claim that God is a God of all gods and he's able to do all that he can do and everything is great. But then we start going through this journey that we call life and we get blindsided by something. And all of a sudden, what do? We start questioning, why me? God, you can take this away. And I have talked to people in the last 2 weeks probably more about this topic than ever. And it's, I don't know why I should pray. Because when I pray, I know that God can, but I don't think he will. I know that God can, but I don't think he will. And so my response to that, I said, look, you got half of that right. Because if you know that God can, you don't know if he won't. And you're already going into this prayer life saying, all right, God, you know, I believe you're a big God, but I know you're not going to do anything. But the preacher told me I got to pray, so I'm going to pray. There's a lot of faith in there, isn't there? There's a lot of lack of faith in there. But we don't know. We always end as Christ ended all his prayers. But thy will be done. We don't know if God's going to do or what in our eyes do or not do our prayers. All we know is that we are to pray to a God who is capable of doing everything and anything. God is capable of healing. God is capable of changing the sinner's heart. He's capable of bringing back that prodigal son. He's capable of doing everything. But when we pray, we can't pray, I know you can, but I don't think you will. There's no faith. I know you can, and I'm really praying you will, but your will be done. You see, that's a totally different perspective. And I think that's what Paul was referring to in verse 5. Because again, it was his faith counted righteousness. Abraham believed in God. He lived like he believed in God. And then jump down in verse 8. Verse 8 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Or blessed is the man who God will not hold the man accountable for his sin. Are you blessed? Absolutely. You and I wake up in the morning and we should have a tremendous joy because God still reigns. No other reason. Not because it's almost the weekend. Not because it's almost payday. Not because all the things that are positive in your life. We should wake up with a joy simply because he still reigns and we're still alive. And then we should always feel blessed. Always feel blessed no matter what the circumstances is, no matter what's going on in our world, always be blessed, because according to verse 8, we're blessed because he's not going to hold me accountable for my sins. That's huge. That's huge. I mean, I can't, can you imagine living a life of doing wrong, and when the punishment comes, somebody simply saying, I paid for that. I took care of that. Go live your life. Go. Man, we forget how blessed we are simply because of who he is, and we are not going to be held accountable for our sin. Now, while we're on earth, we're going to pay some consequences for our sinful choices. Absolutely. We're going to pay the price here, I believe. Consequences. God says, listen, I'm going to give you free will, and I'm going to let you choose. But what I'm not going to let you do is choose the consequences to your decision. That's my job. God is saying, that's what I do. And that ought to scare us. If we would put that in up front of every decision we make, I'm going to make this choice, but I have no say in how it's going to affect me, my family, all aspects of my life. You better go to the one who's going to give you the consequence and ask permission for the decision, because he's the one that's going to say, I'm going to give you the consequence. Wouldn't it be great if we just went there and said, okay, God, I need to know what the answer is, and boy, you just, oh, there's the answer. Thank you, God. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Listen, God don't own no Dell computer or Apple. He don't own no kind of computer, period. But you and I know that we are blessed, and we know that we serve a God who simply says, if you abide in me, John chapter 14, and I abide in you, then just ask. But yet we like to ask before we abide. And it doesn't work that way. So I think verse 2, verse 5, and verse 8, all of them read. Now in between, he is quoting scripture. Verse 6 says, even as David also described the blessedness of a man to whom unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And verse 7 saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. He's quoting from Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2. I mean, if you do a cross-reference of verses in your Bible, I challenge you to do it. You can even buy a book. It's called Cross-References. And it takes every verse in the Bible and it gives you all the other places in the Bible where this same concept is talked about. But when they are quoting so much of the Old Testament, you got to know they're quoting the Old Testament. And to me, it's amazing. Again, Paul was quoting David said, and he said it in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. If that's the only thing you get tonight, you're blessed. A good, solid reminder that he has paid and covered our sin. And we are not going to be held accountable for that sin. Got consequences this side of heaven? Absolutely. So did David. He lost his son because of his sin with Bathsheba. Many things happened to those patriarchs who sinned. Moses struck the rock, and he was not allowed to go into the promised land. Many consequences come from their disobedience. Many consequences come from our disobedience. But I'm going to tell you what, when we stand before God and he says, why should I let you in? Because Jesus Christ paid my penalty. We are blessed. We are blessed. I'm telling you, man, we forget that sometimes because we doubt our God, we question our God, and we don't think God's fair. You know, why would God let that happen? Listen, we are blessed simply because God was able to do that. So to me, it's very important because, again, Paul concludes and he's coming down to this same concept. Abraham, if he was justified by works, he would live a great life. But not before God. That didn't work. Again, verse 5. To him it was faith that was counted righteousness. Verse 8. All that a man to whom men the Lord will compute sin is blessed. David is bringing these, or Paul is bringing these three verses together. Again, simply saying, man cannot be justified. In fact, what he's saying is all men are guilty again. Because I can imagine, If you would go to a Jew at that time frame and you would say Abraham was nothing more than a sinner, it would be like going to the Pope and telling him that he's nothing more than a man. And standing before him doing that, even though he is just a man, it would not sit well. It would not sit well. In fact, you may have some very strong Catholic friends that look at the Mary and that look at other the apostles, and that they hold them in so high esteem. And they should. They've done unbelievable things for God. But when we talk about sin, their works were meaningless before the eyes of God. And that's the same with us. There are some people who live a great life, live a good life, do a lot of good, and they're doing well for God, serving God, doing tremendous things for God. But it doesn't matter, because man can give all the praise man wants to give, but not in the sight of God. In the sight of God, there's only one way, one avenue. And I also get this from some of the younger kids that have a brainwash, but a training through our school systems that there's a diversity of gods, therefore there is a diversity of ways to heaven. And you will be amazed at the age of 25, 35-year-olds that have this, well, why wouldn't God accept them? They're very good people. And they go on and list all their great characteristics. They list all their great things. And they miss the fact that God is the one who set the standard. He's the judge. He's the one who said, if you don't come through the blood of my son, you don't come at all, period. Man, if we can get that message out to people today, man, they need to hear that. They need to understand that there is no hope other than just Christ. And it goes on and say in verse 9, cometh is the blessedness then upon the circumcision only? Again, Jews, do you think that all of this blessedness of God, all of heaven is only going to be for you, those of the circumcision? Only or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. It wasn't the fact that he was circumcised. It wasn't the fact that he was chosen by God to be the father of your nation. That's not the problem. All of that is a very true statement. But as far as salvation goes, no man cometh unto the Father but through me, which is Christ. And how simple is that message? We take the Bible and I think we make it way too difficult for people to understand. We make it way too difficult. Well, you gotta, you know, they don't know how to read it or they can't read it. And we were having this discussion, and I can remember when we started up the RU, and I'll just put it out there. They had all the King James Bibles, and they started trying to read it, and you could have taken their tongue, pulled it out, tied it in a knot, and they stumbled over every word. They couldn't read that caliber of English. So we brought different translations in. We did different things. Listen, go find your God. And let God teach you and train you and raise you and mold you and mature you into. Because that's the important part. And we're running into the same. It's interesting. We're still allowed to pass out Bibles in the hospital, which we do. And the greatest thing is, because of COVID, this is a positive thing that happened because of COVID. We are not allowed to take the Bibles back. You have to take it home. Yes, we hammer that every day. Sure, can I give you a Bible? Oh, yeah, I'll take a Bible. Now, listen, you have to take this home because we're not allowed to have it back because of COVID. Oh, okay. So if nothing else, the Word of God's getting into the house. What they do with it from there, it's not my deal. But then, you know, Paul has put it in a very good perspective. Again, the people who read this letter would have been very offended that Abraham was noted as down to this level, all of us, and he's simply saying, reckoned to Abraham again was simply his faith. And I think that's so important because as he ends down in verse 12, and the father of circumcision, which is who? The father of circumcision is Abraham. To them who are not of circumcision, which would be, or only, which would be all the Greeks and the Gentiles, but who also walked in the steps of faith of our father Abraham, which he being yet uncircumcised. And basically it's about those who follow in the faith. I want to tell you, one of the greatest things a person could leave in this world when they pass on is the story of their faith. Because as a pastor, that's easy to pick up on. And I've talked to many people and say, you know, don't mourn the person. Live their faith. Love the God that they loved. Live as they would have lived. And that's exactly what Paul's doing. He simply says again, and he's only bringing it down to the, they cannot be justified by their own character or their conduct, as was stated earlier. Basically, it's an idea that the purpose of the law is to lead us to understand how much of a sinner we are. And from that point on, there is no way. And we're going to get to one of my absolute favorite verses in chapter 6. But we're going to have to wait to get there because it is the most easiest way to lead somebody to Christ. And I'm not a great artistic person, a little creative at times, but not artistic. All my creativity happens up here, and it's getting harder to get it out here, but it's supposed to come out there, not through my hands. But I have drawn, and Barry Webb also had that same thing, you know, in 623, where, you know, for the wages of sin is death on this side, but the gift of God's eternal life on this side, and through Jesus Christ our Lord, you draw a cross. They have to walk through the cross to get to the great side. I draw that all the time on napkins in the hospital. I love it. I love it. And I said, here, take this home with you. Here, read this again later on. Whether they do, whether they don't, whether they throw it away or maybe the housekeeper will get it and look at it, maybe they'll get saved. That's okay too. But this is where Paul is leading. He's still trying to get them to understand their need for a Savior. And folks, that's what us. We're living in a world where people don't think they need Him. Because they're looking at their life today. They're looking at all that's going on today. They're not understanding all of this. And Paul was still trying to get them to realize to this point that they are sinners and they still need saved. So we're going to stop there tonight, pick up 13 next week, looking at some of the God's promises. Verse 13 says, for the promise that he should be heirs of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, interesting, but through the righteousness of faith. To the heir of this world was through faith, not through Abraham or the seed. So we're going to pick up on that a little bit. Again, the key word tonight is faith. You exercise your faith as you believe he died on the cross, and you exercise your faith every day. You got to trust the faith. Abraham trusted the faith, because if you go back into Genesis and you read the story as he's walking up the mountain to sacrifice Isaac, Isaac was a very smart man or lad at that time, young boy, because he noticed that they were going to sacrifice. They had the wood. They had the knife, but there was no sacrifice. And he asked Abraham, his dad, where's the sacrifice? And his response proves he trusted his faith. His response was, God will provide the sacrifice. I'm going to tell you, that phrase from Abraham's life is a phrase that we need to say every day. God, I can't make sense of this. God, I don't understand this. I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why this is going on in my life. But God, I know that you will provide a way. Don't have to provide an answer. Don't have to provide all the things that you're looking for. We just got to trust that God's going to provide a way out of it. God's going to provide something better the next day. And I'm kind of convinced. In fact, I am absolutely, positively sold out that God will provide. Someday, some way, somehow, God will provide. And one of my favorite songs, and I remember really quickly, I'll close with this, when Jen and I went to Honduras to bring Cheryl home after Marty died. One of those things that most of the Hondurans were there, and they weren't real happy with me because I was taking Cheryl home. Taking her away from them. But ABW, or Baptist Mission, would not allow her to stay as a single missionary in Honduras. It wasn't safe. And they didn't know what they were going to do next. The church was at odds. They didn't understand. They didn't realize. They didn't understand the seriousness of it. So April and I got together, and she taught me in Spanish how to sing God Will Make a Way. And her and I stood up in front of that church in Honduras and sung in their own language, God Will Make a Way. And every one of them were at the altar. Every one of them were at the altar. And it's because they needed to realize God will make a way. And no matter what, God will make a way. If the Jews at this point just would have got it. But we need to get the same thing. We need to get this. You claim to have faith? Great. Claim to have Christ? Absolutely phenomenal, wonderful. But are you living in the trust of that faith? Because that will make a difference. Changed lives will change people. That's it. When people look at our lives and we're different, we're changed, we act different, we talk different, we think different, we have a joy about us, we are blessed in the midst of chaos, all of those things come into our life. They will look at our life. That's what will change the people around us. Not our words, not our fancies, not our churches. Nothing's going to change people except the changed lives that we live. And that only happens when you trust your faith every day. Trust it in a way that God will be glorified. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for tonight. We thank you for all that you do, again, in us and through us. Father, you are, if we can put the words to it, a great God, that's not even close to really who you are and what you've done. And